20 years ago, his parents protested the Vietnam War.
I was wondering if Michael had ever mentioned anything to you about his old school.
I'm a liar. My name isn't Michael. My parents are Arthur and Annie Pope.
My God, Annie, why did you throw it all away?
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Contiki Podcast, the place to find double feature film recommendations from some of your favorite artists, musicians, and filmmakers. My name is Eric Mahoney, I will be your host, and we have a great show today. I'm really excited about this. Matt Berninger of The National joins us to give us his picks for two films to watch back-to-back, and by stops by, I mean we called each other from 3,000 miles away because of the pandemic. Speaking of which, I want to briefly discuss the clothing/fashion options of the quarantine, in particular, the importance of the pants. I have found that I am exponentially more productive and a better human being when I wear proper pants. The loungewear and the sweatpants for me needs to go. I'm not passing judgment. I'm not saying that this works for everyone, but for some reason, my entire day is predicated upon whether or not I'm wearing jeans or sweatpants. And it's becoming a bit fascinating to me, to be honest with you, because there's also a cutoff point at the day where there's a point of no return for putting on the pants. That's, for me, it's post-lunch. I mean, that's pushing it. If I make it to lunch in the sweatpants, it's a really good chance things are going to go dark by late afternoon. But if I'm able to get up and just simply change the bottom 50% of my body, it's a new day. It's a brighter day. I'm not sure what's up with that, but it's a thing. It's a thing. Monday, I wore sweatpants all day. Terrible day. The rest of the week, I've made an effort to wake up and dress myself as if I were leaving the house and participating in the world. And I'm a much better father and husband for it. I find that there's a certain mentality associated with the sweatpants that just simply reeks of I give up. And I just don't want to occupy that space. Things are difficult enough as is without adding that layer of surrender. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. I find it fascinating. I don't know why. I can still wear a beat-up t-shirt and a hoodie up top. It makes no difference. It's the pants. It's all about the pants. The top half can stay the same. It's fascinating. Anyway, circling back, really happy to talk to Matt. He brought a couple of really interesting films that were shot at very different times, but took place during the same time period. So these were really interesting choices. They also have a lot of tonal similarities. And at their core, they are films about family, which we are all spending a lot of time with our collective families right now. So interesting choice. So let's head on over to our conversation right now with Matt Berninger.
Hello, Eric.
Hey, Matt, what's happening?
Oh, hi. Good, I didn't know you were there. Sorry, I'm 2 minutes late.
That's quite all right.
So are you guys okay? Like, you and your family are well and everything out there? You kind of hunkered down like everyone else? Is that what you're doing these days?
Yeah, we are. We're doing fine. Everybody's healthy. And my brother lives about two doors away And that's where I am now. I'm in the garage behind his house, which is kind of my studio. And so there's this like alleyway between the backs of our houses. So we've been managing to just kind of go back and forth between these two little places that we're renting. And so it's nice when we're, you know, just and then one of that behind my brother's house, there's a trampoline and stuff. So I have this little office and a little studio and a trampoline right outside. So we're doing okay. We're writing a lot. And my daughter's homeschool is working surprisingly just really, really well. So, yeah, no, we're doing okay. We're reading a lot of books, watching a lot of movies, playing a lot of games.
Good, man. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, good. Same here. Same here. That's nice to have a little additional spot to get out of the house that's got to psychologically feel a little better to at least just go outside and go into a different structure. That's nice. You mentioned your brother. Is he doing film work? I absolutely love that documentary you guys did together. I have to say that is one of the most... I'm a music doc junkie, and to me that was like a music doc that wasn't about music whatsoever, which is actually my favorite kind in that genre. But I thought that was a brilliant film. I really, really love that movie. Are you guys doing any film work together, or is he doing any projects?
He's editing the sequel as we speak. Yeah. It focuses on our relationship and how things have changed and different things like the first movie did. The tone maybe the tone's the same, but it's not like a sequel in terms of like what happened next necessarily. It's like a spiritual sequel, I guess.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I really thought that first one was just spot on, like really, really fantastic.
The first one, a lot of it was crafted in the editing, like what is the narrative, and so I can't exactly tell you the narrative of this one yet because it's sort of as being a documentary filmmaker, it's like sometimes the narrative of the thing you end up with isn't the same what you thought you were going to make at the beginning. That was definitely the case with Mistaken for Strangers, the first one, you know, and turned into an entirely different movie. And this one, same thing, you know, is going through. I'm sure, like, you know, your Brainiac documentary and the films you made, maybe, you know, the idea of how you thought you were going to tell that story, you told it and maybe probably in a very different way once you saw everything you had and you put it all together. And when you put the puzzle together out of all the raw material, it isn't necessarily what you was on the cover of the box, you know?
Sure. I mean, that's the beauty of documentary, for sure. I think that happens a lot more when you're catching something in the moment than when you're doing a retrospective piece. But those kind of things happen on all projects. I think even, on narrative films that I've worked on, those things happen. That's the beauty of like the collaborative art form and just, you know, having to deal with certainly like with on independent budgets, having to deal with a lot of obstacles brings about forced changes that may be really amazing, you know, so that's really cool.
It's just kind of the same thing of making a record. You never really, you have ideas of what you wanted a song to be about, very vague ideas. And I've even let go of trying to figure out what a song's about completely until after it's mastered, I go back and listen and I'm like, I wonder what that one's really about, you know? And same thing with documentary film, like, you know, you just have to kind of go forward in through the woods and at the other side of it, you'll have had this experience and you'll know how to tell that story, but you can't tell that story until you've gone through the woods, you know?
Well, let's dive into your films here, man. Tell me what your recommendation for a good at-home double feature film would be.
Yeah, I picked Running on Empty, a Sidney Lumet movie, which I can't remember. I think that was released in the 80s or something, 85 maybe. And then Call Me By Your Name by Luca Guadagnino. I picked those two movies, which they were released very far apart, but they're both set in the 80s. And I picked them before I realized this and why I picked those two movies. Consciously, the reason I picked those two movies is because they both are about these incredibly loving, unconditionally loving families with kids who are going through an adolescence and a coming of age and a becoming adults, and then you see the parents are such great parents. And I think both these movies resonate with me because I was these young men's age in the 80s. And both of the River Phoenix's character and Timothy Chalamet's characters are going through very different experiences, and the families in both these films are going through very different experiences, and the settings are entirely different. You know, one's very working class America, you know, just very, very, you know, rubbing nickels together, very, you know, it's Call Me By, or I'm sorry, Running on Empty. They're on the run from the law. They've got nothing. And then Call Me By Your Name is in this idyllic, you know, European Italian setting. And so their settings are very different, and the things that the families are going through and the young men are going through are very different, but they're very similar in how loving and portraits of these incredible families. And I thought that was, I think they were resonating with me now because everyone is home with their families and really, you know, close together and trying to get through, solve some strange evolutions and crisis and problems, and everyone's different, and everyone's, you know, that's the other thing about the films, is that the parents are all different from each other, and they are from their kids. They're very different. Their kids have different destinies or have different needs and different callings than maybe they expected their children to have, or they're hoping their children, or whatever it is. It's just, but the empathy these parents have and the unconditional love they have for their children and their attempts to understand and let their children become themselves is what's, I think, so beautiful and about that. And I think that I'm connecting to these movies so much now, being a father of a preteen, you know, and just like, if I could, you know, both of the fathers in these films, I find to be incredibly powerful and moving portraits of wonderful, loving dads, and the moms too. So I don't know. And they're just incredibly good love stories. They're just so romantic and they're so beautiful. And both the movies make me cry like crazy. So it just, there's just like good family weepers.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good explanation of their connectivity. I agree. They are really, really good family stories, and that's a nice time to kind of reflect on family. I think right now, for a lot of people who are, like it or not, with their families, you know, 24 hours a day.
No, I'm actually loving it. I mean, be perfectly honest. Not, I mean, it's, we're in a very sad, very traumatic, very, very anxiety, dreadful place. Yet I'm finding opportunity to, you know, I'm supposed to be in Australia right now on tour, and I've never been home this long, you know, without having to go into the studio and a million different things. And I'm staying busy, but I'm also really, really, really having a good time just connecting and watching movies and doing things and, you know, playing board games and just having kind of a smaller life is really appealing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think there's a lot to be said for that. For sure. No, there's a lot of meaning and you know, you don't get a lot of this time back. You know, it goes very, very fast. And it's a cliche, but it really does feel that way, you know, when you're raising kids. So it is nice to have that time. Absolutely. Let's circle back to Running on Empty for a second. Sidney Lumet is one of my favorite directors. For those unaware, he's, you know, incredibly prolific. Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon, two of my favorites from him. Did a lot of different types of films, even did like The Wiz, you know, did the musical. His last film, I think, was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, with Philip Hoffman, which was another fantastic film. But this is a really, really greatly crafted movie. And also the writing is really tremendous. And this is the second film in the series so far that stars River Phoenix. We've had another pick of River Phoenix's work, which is interesting to me as well. But take us through the a little bit through the plot, if you don't mind, just kind of describe it to anyone who's not familiar, because the parents here kind of shoulder a lot of guilt because of their past actions. So give me like a quick synopsis, if you would.
Okay, yeah, Running on Empty came out in 1988, and I think it's set in 1988 too, and it's the mother and father were political activists in the 60s, and they are on the run from the law because someone was injured in an action they did. I don't want to give it, you know, and so they've been on the run. They raised a family. They raised two boys. River Phoenix is the oldest boy, and he's, I guess, he's 18 or 17 or 18, and And they have to, everyone just move from town to town every time the law catches up to them. And then at a point, this is, you find out, you know, that River Phoenix, he wants to be a musician. He's, what's he going to do? Does he, you know, they decide to say, keep this family together or break apart, you know, and the sacrifices that they have to make for each other to keep each other together, but also the sacrifices, you know, other kind, you know, what that means. And it's just beautiful. And it's, what I also love about both these films, but, art and music are a big part of the fabric of these families and Running on Empty. Both the films use music in incredible, incredible ways. And Running on Empty specifically uses James Taylor in incredibly powerful ways. It maybe one of the most crushing, heartbreaking, beautiful, best endings in use of a song I've ever experienced, that it worked on me is towards the end of this film. But I won't say much more about that. But yeah, both of them. But the families in this one, and specifically Running on Empty, the like music and the music of the 60s and classical music and art and just being like crafts and without any means, without any, you know, they don't even give each other birthday presents. They have to make or find something. And it's just, it's how much joy, connection, and even escape, you know, both connection and sometimes escape music provides, because we all need both. And so in art provides those things. So the movie has a lot of that. Just in terms of they're, it's just a beautifully told romance about young love. Both the first, you know, that first love, both films are like that. And I think that's, you know, I had my experiences of first love when I was the age of these young men in both films. And so, yeah. And I've, you know, great love stories, great love songs is kind of my favorite thing of all genres, you know. I mean, most of our good songs are the ones that are sort of love songs. And, they're just the ones I care the most about, I guess. So, that's Running on Empty without, you know, saying more too much about it.
That's perfect. And I think that's a nice segue into Call Me By Your Name, because that is more in the love genre, I would say, or coming of age love genre. Again, the writing in this too, very good. I think this won best adapted screenplay at the Oscars that year. Call Me By Your Name did. It's a really fantastic screenplay. It's adapted from a novel, premiered at Sundance, won, I think, or was nominated for, you know, hundreds of awards that year. It was a really, really well received piece. Take us through that one a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, when I saw Call Me By Your Name, similar to Running on Empty, just how incredible all the music was, and Sufjan Stevens' song in that, and I think he's got a few songs in that, are just, it's just so powerfully executed at how music, and not just that song, but all the music throughout that film, and the photography. It's just one of the most beautiful settings. It's if you need to escape to a place of just, you know, all they're really doing is reading books and absorbing art and eating fresh fish and peaches. They're eating healthy, they're living healthy, and they are, and so it's just a idyllic, beautiful, just, I've been to Italy, you know, a lot of times, and it wasn't till I saw this movie that I really, like, rethought Italy and fell in love with it. Italy is such a beautiful place, and this film just captures, you know, a way of life that is just so beautiful and so innocent, all of it, and so wonderful. And again, this is more of a specifically focused on a love affair and a young love and a self-discovery. But again, all of that, it's so, like, that they go on these hikes, both movies, they're always going on hikes in the woods, and and swimming in swimming holes, and both films have like these ponds and places, like special places where they go to retreat, or the ocean and stuff, and lots of bike rides. Both films have lots of people riding bikes in the, you know, in the countryside or wherever, or through small towns, and it's just that there's all this freedom, and there's all this possibility, there's all this, you know, the world for these young men, the world is all before them. Every aspect of it, love, you know, every idea, what the art and what they're going to do, their whole identity is right at their, they're at the doorstep to their entire, you know, future, who they're going to be as adults. Right. And so, but yeah, Call Me by Your Name is just, again, both of it, the things come back for me now as a parent is how patient and loving the parents are, and about empathizing with their children and listening to their children and trying to understand who their children are, and their children are no longer, you know, them, you know, or their children are their own, and they're very entirely different than maybe the parents are, you know. And obviously you recognize yourself and your kids, but they're going to be their themselves. Their experiences will shape them, and everything, you know, that you have to recognize your children at some point as independent individuals that you need to, you know, get to know. And that happens in adolescence. Parents and kids get to know each other again, you know, in a new way, because the kids are no longer just, you know, trying to follow rules themselves, and they might not agree with all of the same rules and pattern and all the things that you believe in or think are true, and they may not be true for your children anymore. I think that's why I relate to these movies, both of these movies now. I think that the dads specifically in both.
I think that's a really beautiful and poetic assessment of both of those. I think you're absolutely right. And some of that I hadn't thought of when you sent these selections over to me either. But they do have a tremendous amount of connectivity, even though they were made far apart. They do take place in the same time and do have this kind of central family dynamic at their core, and these coming of age stories and these sort of beautiful and dramatic and heartbreaking ways of people kind of saying goodbye to youth and stepping into young adulthood and making these decisions for themselves. I think that's a really good, you know, assessment of tying these two together. These are great picks, man. Thank you for that. I think that people would really enjoy them. And I think these are like really well thought out and nicely curated.
Thanks. Yeah, it was fun to do. I watched them both again, twice, and cried my eyes out both times. They're just for some reason those two just like stuck together. They sounded like those are the two I wanted to watch back to back. So I guess I was like, those must be my picks then. And it wasn't until watching them I was like, oh, because I was that same age in the 80s, you know, and now I'm the same age as those dads. That's got to be it, you know, or part of it.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. No. I'm sure. No, you're connecting, I think, on, yeah, with now, you know, you're now connecting with all generations of characters, basically, is what it's coming down to.
Appreciate this. Was a good time.
Thanks, man. Best of luck with everything this year. You know, I know a lot of things are on pause, but, you know, enjoy your time at home. You know, we'll be looking for you.
Thanks, man.
Sounds good, man. Take care of yourself.
You too. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
So that's the show. I want to once again thank Matt Berninger for being on the program today and coming up with a really great combination of two family-centric films. Once again, those were Running on Empty from 1988, directed by Sidney Lumet, and Call Me By Your Name from 2017, directed by Luca Guadagnino. Stay up to date with all of Matt's musical endeavors and his band The National at AmericanMarried.com, and keep up to speed with any tour cancellations, reschedulings, new recordings, etc. You can also follow Matt on Instagram at GreenGloves777. follow us on Instagram as well at Contiki Podcast and stay up to date with all the new episodes and postings. Once a week, I also post my own recommendation for a double feature film. So follow us on Instagram and check those out as well. And make sure you subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on any new guests and episodes. Our next one features one of my favorite film directors of all time, so you don't want to miss that at all. Stay sane, stay well, stay inside, and keep your pants on.